Let's open up our Bibles. We are continuing in the book of Luke. We are continuing in Luke chapter 6. And you remember, we are in the book of Luke because we are following Jesus. We are learning what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we are in Luke, following with his disciples, walking with Jesus, learning from him, seeing what he's doing, seeing how he interacts with people, learning and hearing what he teaches us, and learning how to be a disciple ourselves, make disciple of others. Okay, so Luke chapter 6. Last week we covered Luke chapter 6, 27 to 42. And that's where Jesus gives the golden rule, which is, love others as you would have them love you. And it sounds like good, solid, worldly wisdom, but it's very different. Not in terms of the actions. Our society always wants good actions. We want people to love each other. But deep in the core, there's something different. Jesus says it this way, that when you love your enemies, do good to them, then you will be sons of the Most High. That is, you will show yourself to be God's children. Whereas our world says, do good and you will be good. Just like Jeff mentioned in the worship set. In our culture, we define ourselves by, our externals. Oh, well, that person's, they're athletic. That person is, cool. That person is wealthy. That person is generous. Or that person is nerdy. Or, because they look on the outside and they see what we do, and they say, that is who you are. Right, so when the world says, okay, how are we supposed to be better people? We say, well, we do good, right? Do good, try harder, be nicer, because we are defined by what we do in this world. And Jesus turns that around, says, no, that's not how this works. And Jesus says, do good to others, love others, show others mercy. Not because that defines who you are, but because that's who you already are. That's the gospel. That's what Jeff was mentioning before in the worship set. This is the gospel. That Jesus came and he died to change our insides. Jesus is always, always, always concerned about what's going on the inside. What's in our heart? And Jesus says, a heart is desperately wicked. What's the problem with all our outsides? It's not the problem with just the outsides. It's the problem with the inside. What makes you a sinner? Not because you sin. You're a sinner because you're a sinner. There's sin inside of you. And sometimes that works its way out into sinful actions. And sometimes it doesn't. That doesn't mean you're not a sinner. Jesus says, love others because I have come and I've saved you. I've poured my love on you. I redeemed you. I've bought you. Now show love. Right? That doesn't define who you are. You're not a good person because you love. Jesus says, I love you. I died for you. You're redeemed. Now you go out and love. Now you go out and show mercy. It's reversed. The world says, you are what you do. Christ says, you do what you are. So now we come into a new section, which recaps a little bit. Let's start in verse 43 of Luke chapter 6. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. I don't know if you've ever gone to a garden. I know there's not really that much space for gardens in New York City. But if you go to a garden and you see all sorts of plants, it's hard at first to tell what kinds of plants are which. One of my friends is from the Midwest, and my friend's family, well, actually, the whole community does nothing but farm, because there's nothing else to do out there but farm. So everyone's a farmer, and when my friend's parents and their generation all get together, they just talk about, like, you know, fertilizer and farm equipment and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, I visited them once, and they're like, oh, man, that's a strange topic of conversation. But there's plants everywhere. And when you go out there into you know, the farm, lots of different kinds of plants. And when they're just green and leafy, it's hard to tell what they are. I forget about if they don't have leaves. Like, forget it. In the winter, you go around and try to figure out what tree is which. If it's not an evergreen, you'd be like, I don't know, it just looks like, you know, dead tree. But then when the leaves start coming up, you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe it can tell a little bit of difference. And the trees look a little bit different, but a lot of the trees, a lot of the, you know, the vegetables, a lot of the fruit trees, they all look the same or very similar. But then when harvest comes and the fruit appears, oh, well, then you know for sure. You'll be like, well, that tree is definitely an orange tree. That tree is definitely a grapefruit tree. And this tree is definitely an apple tree or whatever. And you can tell the difference. This is what Jesus is saying. You know who you are on the inside. One of the indications is what comes out. Right? He's been talking about, you should be showing love. You should be showing mercy. These things should be coming out of you. And Jesus says, this points to what's on the inside. Now, a lot of people wonder, you know, how do I know that I'm saved? How do I know I'm going to heaven? 100%. How do I find that assurance? Well, Jesus says, one of the ways of knowing, one of the indicators is, You look at fruit, right? You can go around, and during the winter, you can go and DNA test all the trees to find out what kind of tree they are. Hard work, it'd be very expensive, and people will give you really strange looks. Or you could just wait for summertime. Wait for the leaves to grow, wait for the fruit to come out, and then you can look at the fruit and tell what kind of tree it is. Because the type of tree it is shown by the fruit. And Jesus says, well, you know, good fruit doesn't come out of bad trees. Bad fruit doesn't grow out of good trees. Fig trees don't go to briars, right? You don't go to an apple tree expecting an orange because it's an apple tree. That's what it is. The fruit comes out of the proper kind of tree. And Jesus says, this love and this mercy that you're supposed to be showing, it's because of who you are. It's because you've got Jesus' love on the inside. And so what comes out of you should be natural. It should naturally be Jesus' love, Jesus' mercy, because that's what's been poured into you. James says it this way. Let's flip over really quickly to the book of James, right after Hebrews, before Peter. James chapter 3, verse 9. James says, with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. Look at the things that are coming out of you. what are those things like? Are they love? Are they mercy? Are they criticism? Are they rumors? Are they gossip? What's coming out of you? Jesus says, it's an indicator of what's going on inside. Now, we probably don't know plants very well, but we all know how faucets work. Right? You go to the bathroom and you turn on the faucet, you know what comes out. Water. Why does water come out? Is it because some magic thing in the faucet generates and creates water? No. Okay, well, if you think that, no, it doesn't. When you turn it on, water comes out because it's connected to a source of water. You go through the pipes, and it's connected to some water source, either the reservoir, some water tower. It's connected to some source of water. So when you turn that on, water comes out. What would happen? You turn the faucet on, and suddenly, like, really brown, rusty water comes out of it. Well, you think, and you come to the conclusion, well, something's wrong with the water source, or maybe my pipes. Something before the faucet has gone wrong. Either my pipes or the water source has been contaminated. And now what's coming out is garbage. It's not drinkable. Now let's say hypothetically, this is probably not going to happen, but hypothetically, let's say you go to the bathroom, you turn on the faucet, and ketchup pours out. You may think this is very strange, but you know, you're a very logical person. You're like, well, someone messed up the pipes, and now instead of being connected to the water source, somehow they connected it to the Heinz factory, and now it's just squirting out ketchup. Or if you turn on the faucet and orange juice comes out, you're like, well, someone connected those pipes to the Tropicana factory. Hypothetical, it's not going to happen, and don't think of trying to do this because it's not going to work. But what comes out of the faucet shows you what it's connected to. And you can tell what it's connected to because what comes out? You open up the faucet, what comes out? Clean water? Well, then it's coming from a source of nice, clean water. You open it up and junk's coming out of it? Well, it's connected to a source of junk. The same exact thing, she says, is true of you. What's coming out of you? If what's coming out of you is cursing, if what's coming out of you is garbage, you follow the pipes. You follow the pipes and see where that's connected to. Jesus says in verse 45, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Right, just like you turn on the faucet, you follow the pipes, that's where the water comes from. You open your mouth, you act, well, you follow the source of that. And Jesus says, the source of that is your heart. So if your words are ungracious, if you're more likely to put someone down than build them up, if your actions are violent, trace back the source. The source is your heart. Your heart's not filled with love. Your heart is filled with violence. Your heart is filled with cursing. Your heart is filled with criticism. That's what I tell people when young people ask me, oh, Pastor Dan, am I allowed to curse? It doesn't say anything in the Bible about, you know, swear words, F words, S words, whatever. It doesn't say anything, you know, 100% in, you know, Jesus never knew the S word. Pastor Dan, I should be able to use the S word. I mean it in love. Like, no, out of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And if junk's coming out, that means junk's on the inside. So you want to know whether you're saved? You want to know whether you have Jesus on the inside? Look what's coming out. We should be so filled with God's love, with the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, that if someone would prick us, that's what we bleed. We bleed Jesus' love. If someone elbows us as we're walking on the street, we should respond with grace because we're filled with God's love. You see it every day. You get into bad traffic or someone bumps someone else as they're walking along. What comes out? A string of curse words. Anger. You got people jumping out of cars, threatening violence. That's crazy. Why? Because they're filled up with anger. They're filled up with malice. They're filled up with sin. And so anything happens, that's what comes out. That's what comes out of them. But when stuff happens to us, we should be able to respond in love and mercy. To the far extent that we can love those who are our enemies. We can pray for those who persecute us. People who want to do us harm, we can respond in love. Not the natural way, but just to us it will feel natural because we're filled up with love. Like, here, take some more of this love. That's what I'm filled with. Jesus says, you're going to be known for your fruit. So don't just try to produce fruit. Try to be a good tree. Right? Let's continue on. Verse 46 in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Ooh. This verse should make you very uncomfortable. I don't know. It makes me kind of uncomfortable. How many times do we call Jesus or God Lord? And how many times do we use this word Lord? And we kick it around so often and it has no meaning for us. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You know, Lord, well, first of all, when you call someone Lord, that means this person has a place of authority in your life. That this person is who's calling the shots. This is the person who you're supposed to be taking orders from. In the olden days, to call someone king or Lord means they have the authority in your life. If the king says you do something, you got to do it. Because he's the king. And here, he's got the example of someone coming up to Jesus and he's saying, Lord, Lord. He's saying it twice. It's not just for emphasis, but it's also, it reveals kind of a very personal relationship. Lord, Lord. And Jesus is responding, well, why don't you do what I say? It's very dangerous to be here on Sundays and listening to Jesus' words because there's a responsibility that comes with it, even more so than the responsibility from Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Jesus said, well, you listen to my words, you've got a great responsibility on your shoulders. Because people can listen to Jesus and you can do all sorts of things with it. Jesus attracted a whole lot of groupies. He attracted a lot of fans. People who would follow him just to see the amazing things he did, hear the crazy things he would say. But then when Jesus would say things like, well, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Think about how many people turned away and said, you know, I was great with the miracles, and I was great with the amazing teaching that you can't find anywhere else, but you started talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. You got a little too far, Jesus. You're going a little bit on the crazy side. I'm going to go home now. Right? He had a lot of fans. He had a lot of groupies. They followed him, but they weren't his disciples. Nothing that Jesus said impacted their life. I worked under a pastor once, Pastor Al, and he was telling me the story of one of his previous churches, and he was saying that there was someone in his church who was so amazingly well-read in the Bible. He read his Bible once every single year, cover to cover. Right? How many of us can say that? Yeah, that we've even done that once, let alone in 1 year, and let alone for decades. There's this man in Pastor Al's church. They would read through the Bible every single year without fail, year after year after year, decades upon decades. But he was the most unloving person you could ever meet. And you think, well, how can that be? You know, as a pastor, I always tell people to read their Bibles. And your leaders and your Sunday school teachers, they tell you to read the Bible. And there's this person who has read the Bible more time than I have. More times than probably anyone else in this church has. And his actions are horrible. He's unloving. He's unmerciful. He's ungracious. And Jesus says to that, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Because there's an extra step in following Jesus. It's not just following Jesus around and being a fan. Lots of people are fans. And you look at what Jesus did, you look at what Jesus said, and it's amazing. Better than Buddha, better than Muhammad, better than any other, you know, great religious leader out there. A lot of people love to study him. You go to university and they teach whole courses on Jesus, but not believe. Why? Because they don't want to do what he says. They refuse to let their life reflect what Jesus has said. And so Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Verse 47. I will show you what it is like, what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice. Okay, good. He's going to give an illustration. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, a torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So Jesus is giving the illustration of these two houses. They look completely the same on the outside. Right? This is a house of someone who calls himself Christian. But Jesus says, if you do what I say, you know, you're not just following me, you don't just call me Lord, but you actually back it up with action. You don't just talk about love, but you show love. It's like a house built on a foundation. Versus if you don't listen, if you listen and don't do, it's like building a house without a foundation. Now, what's the difference? And why would you bother building a foundation or why would you not build a foundation? Well, it takes a lot of work to build a foundation. And you just say, put them side by side. And you hire contractors to build a house. Well, the one with the foundation is taking a lot longer. And you're ticking down the months, and you're like, where's my house? And the other one's already done already. You get the whole thing built up, looks great. You can move in right away. But there's a fundamental difference. The difference is in the core, in the foundation. And it takes a lot of work to build that foundation. You got to dig in. You got to lay it all. You got to put in all the concrete. But it makes a strong house. So when the storm comes, the house with the foundation is just going to get blown away. And maybe it's not to such a great degree, but you look out there and you see all the houses, and especially when you go out toward, more toward, farther toward Long Island, say, like Bayside, and you see all these big, humongous monster houses being built. You drive down the street, and, you know, there's the normal houses, and then suddenly there's, like, three-story, like, big marble stuff, and there's, like, chrome everywhere, there's humongous windows, and it just looks gigantic. It looks humongous. It looks nice. For a few months, I actually got to stay in one. Someone was renting out, and you know, I was finishing up my lease, and so I moved into one just for a little while, and I'm like, it's so nice, like hardwood floor, so open, so shiny, like it looks so gorgeous. Summer came, it got really hot, like it was so, I had to turn the AC on constantly, it was so hot, and then winter came. So cold. The heat was on constantly. It looked nice, but I mean, it was like I was camping outside. And we found out what was wrong when the Verizon guys came to check the box. Right, you know, here in this church, our nice Verizon box is down in the men's bathroom. Ours was in the attic, so we went up in the attic. There was no insulation on the attic floor. None. This house is just built like paper. Looked wonderful on the outside, but had completely gypped on everything. Everything was made, you know, really fast, really cheap. And so the walls weren't insulated, the attic wasn't insulated, there was nothing there. Looked nice, but it was really hard to live in. She's saying, it's even worse when it comes to my word. My word goes out, I'm talking, and now you got a responsibility. If you're following me, if you consider yourself my disciple, there needs to be something more than just following, listening, being passive. It has to be followed with action, obedience. Jesus is saying here, in essence, there are no two kinds of Christians. Right? We like to say there's two kinds of Christians. There's the kinds that's really super spiritual, and then there's the kinds that are, you know, more worldly. That's not biblical. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian in the Bible. Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to do what I say. Why? Because Jesus says, I'm Lord, and if I'm Lord, then you have to obey. That's what a Lord is. If you do not obey, then you're lying when you call me Lord. And you look at the two examples, right? One house, the storm comes and it's safe. The other house, storm comes and it gets crushed. Jesus is not saying that, you know, if you are a Christian that obeys the lordship of Christ in your life, then, you know, the storms of life are going to come and you're going to be safe. But if you don't build your foundation on Christ, you know, the storms of life are going to come and you're going to be hard put. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, when the judgment comes, if you are built on the solid rock of Jesus, if you proclaim Jesus as Lord, not just with your mouth, but also with your actions, with your obedience, the judgment has come and you will be saved. But he also says, if you just listen and you do not obey, the judgment is going to come and your destruction is going to be complete. It's scary. It's scary for us sitting in church because I look out here and you guys all look nice. And you can talk Christian, you know what's going on in the Bible, you know what Jesus is saying. And I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know where your foundations are. Just like when you look outside, you can't tell if there's a foundation in the house or not. And you assume there is because New York City wouldn't allow you to build a house without a foundation. But you look out there, you can't tell anything about the house. You can't tell whether there's insulation in it. You can't tell whether there's a foundation. You can't even tell whether, you know, there's nice stuff inside. I can look into your life. I can't see what's going on. I can't see if there's Jesus inside. I just see what's, you know, you can talk the talk. You can say, I believe in Jesus. But you can say you're going to Jesus and still go to hell. That's the frightening thing. You can go to church every Sunday. You can claim to be a Christian. You can, you know, go to some retreat and, you know, get the feels and say, oh, Jesus is my Lord, and, you know, wear some kind of bracelet, wear a cross, whatever. But Jesus says, if that profession of faith is not backed up with obedience, you are not my disciple. You may be a fan. You may be a groupie. You may be someone who just likes Jesus or likes the idea of Jesus, but you're not a disciple. And when the final judgment comes, that's going to reveal what's inside your house. Whether you got the foundation of Jesus or if you have no foundation at all. So Jesus says, What's being built on the inside? What's being built? Am I your foundation? And if he is, it's got to show itself in fruit. It's got to show itself in action. It's got to show itself in love and mercy. So you want assurance of faith? You want to know whether you're a Christian. I hope this week you examine yourself. Is this something that I'm doing just because, you know, it's what my parents expect, it's what I grew up with, it's just what you do? Or is your profession real? And I was really challenged by this when I went to seminary. And the very last theology class in seminary, the final project was write a statement of faith. Write out everything you believe. Pages and pages of everything you believe in minute detail. And as I'm writing this out, I'm thinking, do I really believe this? If I really believe this, would I act differently? And the conviction in my heart at that time was, man, if this is what I believe, I mean, my actions should change. How I live should change. And if you call Jesus Lord, your life should reflect it. Your fruit should be out there. And if it's not, oh, I pray that you do some really tough examination this week. Read through the book of 1 John. See if Jesus is really in there. See if the blood of Jesus has really poured into your life and made you new. And if he has, follow the Lord. Not just with your ears, but with your mouth, with your hands, with your feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by your words. Lord, we are humbled because so often we call you Lord, but yet it means so little to us. Lord, you know our hearts, and you see our actions. Lord, we pray, I pray for each one of us that Jesus would be Lord. That each one of us, our lives would be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So when the judgment comes, our lives will stand and not be swept away. Lord, for those of us who profess Jesus, I pray that that would manifest itself in amazing ways. Lord, that people may not look at our lives and say, well, I don't know whether he's Christian or not. I can't tell what they believe. But Lord, what we believe, what we know to be true, the Lord we follow, Lord, let it be evident in our lives. Fill us up so much with your love and with your mercy that it just spills out to everyone around us. Even our enemies, even those that want to do us harm, even those that are out to get us, the worst bully. Lord, let us be able to show love so that we may show that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.